Dear Enemies back New Year's Eve. But now it's time for Devil's Business.
Welcome to the show that covers sex, drugs, and rock and roll lives of the people that are still awake while all the wholesome people are sound asleep. I'm your host, Patrick Jolly. With me are the guys from Dear Enemy. I got Gogi and Ryan here, as well as Aaron Sofane from My Favorite Sin. What's up, guys?
How's it going?
Now, this is a very special episode to me because Dear Enemy in 2010 broke up. But you have a big announcement. What is it, Ryan?
We're playing again. We're back.
Yay! Win!
Rock. We're back.
When exactly are you playing again?
New Year's Eve to 2013, December 31st.
Where at?
120 Tavern in Marietta, Georgia.
Really excited because I know I'm going to be really drunk that night.
Yes.
Staying in the front row. Okay, so it's been years that, you know, the band has disbanded. Y'all decided to get back together. How did that come about?
They finally said yes because they're sick of me.
Going, come on, guys. We're going to get the band back together.
It was like a week after we broke up. I'm like, come on, guys. What you got? You want to do a reunion show?
It's been a week. We just announced that we're not going to be keep touring, and this is going to confuse everybody. Like, that was the weirdest publicity stunt I've ever seen.
I was like, for me, and I can speak on behalf of everybody else in the band, it's the sickest shit musically that any of us has ever done. Mm. You know, getting a tour with Seven Dust and Taproot and all the other bands we got to tour with and play with.
Right.
We did some big shit, and it was and we had really something going. And and so you know, after asking all the guys, you know, come on. Not literally the next week or anything, but, you know, months and a year later.
I think you did. Which is, to be fair,
that's what it started.
Like, anytime you start talking to them, you're kind of like, yeah, it was cool. I like that. Your daughter, yeah, your son, yeah, it's cool. Hey, what about getting the band back together? What?
It's not like we're getting the band back together, right?
Yeah. That'd be crazy, right? If the band got back together, it'd be crazy.
Oh, that's stupid. Is it?
Is it stupid?
It's not really, is it? It's like, so I fucking bugged everyone in the band to do it. And like back in April of this year, 2013, I finally got everybody on board to meet for the first time since 2010.
So. Well, I mean, we should probably preface that with, he says that he got us all to meet. It's not like there was any bad blood when it
happened. Yeah.
Whatsoever. No. It was basically what had happened was that we've always said that at any point in time that this isn't fun anymore to you or that life just doesn't allow for it, then call it a day. And,
right.
And there's nothing wrong with that. And so our bass player, Ben, came and he said, I'm not feeling it anymore. I feel like life's going in a different direction. I can't do it anymore. And we're like, all right, you know, that's fine. 30 seconds later, our singer Brian Kratz said,
"Well, we're talking about it."
He's like, "Well, since we're talking about that,"
and so it was kind of like everyone was kind of thinking. A couple of people were already starting to think about it.
Brian is a kick-ass chef, and so like his career was doing really, really well. And it got to the point where, I mean, he flat out said, "He said I still love it. I still want to do it. But if we get offered another tour, I can't go."
Right.
And me being like mainly the business guy, I was like, I'm going to have to make a phone call and cancel that tour now.
Because
I had some stuff in the works. And at that point, you know, when if your singer decides to call it a day, it's a day.
Like a Slash or Axl leave, that's a day.
Yeah, and Brian is too much of a key. You know, not that Ben isn't a key part of the sound, but I don't care what band it is. At the point that your singer leaves, you need to call it a day.
The sound of the band is kind of formed by the singer and the guitarist anyway. You got to have Joe Perry. You got to have Steven Tyler to make the band.
I mean, the reality is one of us could have been called a day and the rest of the other guys could have gone on.
Right.
But if Brian calls it a day, it's a day.
Right.
That's just you
can go
business
on,
reality.
But it's just not fucking right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's not right at all.
So who are the other bands that are going to be playing with y'all on New Year's Eve?
We have Dixie Duncan, local legend. Mm-hmm. Dixie Duncan, he's going to be doing some instrumental stuff and some solo stuff by himself. And then we've got Knee Deep and Uber Stout, which is some basically variety of other local Atlanta metal that's going to bring some good crowds out. And just, it was, you know, when we put together the show, we really just wanted it to be a good time and just, you know, no pressure, no stress, no, let's just get together and play it.
Right.
You know, like, what I mean?
Let's not put anything on it. Let's just have a good time again and do it.
Yeah.
Why not?
It's not over.
Well, has anything ever happened on stage that was an emergency but couldn't be immediately addressed?
Yeah, I have broken a string next to me.
and by breaking a string, So what? We played a show, and
okay, so here's what happened. Let me tell it, because you're gonna make it worse than it actually was. It was an innocent situation. So we go to play a show, and I have been known to have a digestive problem or two in my day, and we...
Is it a lactose intolerance problem, maybe, possibly?
It might be. I still don't know what it is. It's different things
at different
times.
It's just every time I drink milk or dairy or product. That's all that is.
It's different things at different times. It could be anything. It could be too much dairy. It could be too much, you know, alcohol.
Just IBS, then.
Okay, yeah, it could be I drank too much or whatever. So we get to the club, and, like, it's one of those situations where... You kind of hear that sound, like, in your stomach. And it's, yeah, and it's not, and you're like,
what was that?
This is about to go bad. And so, like, early on, I was like, all right, I'm going to knock this out. Got the long before we have to play, I'm knocking this out. And so I was like, and the thing is at this club, it was Jester's in Fayetteville. And at this club, there's one stall and no lock on the door.
As many a...
The bathroom door, not the stall door. There's no lock on the bathroom door.
So it's just... Boom.
It's intimate.
So I'm like, I call Ben over, and I'm like, Ben, buddy, I need you to stand in front of this and make sure nobody comes in, because it's about to get ugly.
Trust me, you don't have to have them sit in front of someone. Opens the door and see what's going on. They're leaving.
Right. And so God bless him, he did it. And then we're about to get on stage, and there's always a little, I don't care how big or small the show is, there's always a little something with me where the nerves kind of kick in a little bit. Like, I don't get nervous anymore.
Anxious.
Yeah, there's an anxiousness, like, let's go. And it does things to my body.
Okay, I can speak intelligently on that. This guy does his pregame pee. Like, every time we're about to leave to go to the club or something like that.
I get nervous.
He gets all like, nervous bladder. He's just got to pee. Even though he could have peed, like, 5 minutes before. But yeah. When he knows we're about to walk out the door, it's like he's got to pee again. Right. It's weird.
Yeah. And so, I mean, that happened, and I'm assuming that the anxiousness, nervousness, whatever you want to call it, kind of jostled a couple things. So we're a pretty...
The party started.
We're a pretty active live band, and I, you know, there's guitar spins and jumps and all kinds of stuff, and there was one point where I did a jump.
And
I felt a nugget drop.
So the inertia knocked the shit out.
It wasn't and to be fair, it wasn't a big nugget, but I felt it dropped, and God only knows what I look like when it happened, because I know I stopped for a second.
There could have been someone's videotaping, you're jumping around, then all of a sudden you just get real standing.
Like, I was just like,
now that you're George Harrison, you're like, I'm just going to stay here and clench.
But it was one of those things where, like, I lean down and I kick my leg and I do all this stuff, and so, like, I do it, and I know I stop for a second, and then I start to intentionally, like, while I'm performing, I start looking around to see if I can figure out where it went.
No.
I never found it. I don't know where it is.
Front row is where it is.
Whether it be picks or a tragedy of a guitar spin or something else, I know that most of my projectiles tend to go towards my drummer, Alex. So I may have kicked my leg and it may have flown straight at him.
Alex is like, man, this venue's starting to smell like shit. Smells like Ben and Jerry.
So for all you guitarists out there, do not eat an entire pint of ice cream before you go on stage. Which, really, looking back on it, that's a pretty common sense.
That's yeah. This life's a little instruction book. Don't rock on ice cream,
you
man.
Have yeah. to tell people that.
Thank
it's
God.
Pretty obvious.
Now I know a lot more about punk rock culture. I thought it was ice cream, you guys.
Well, have you ever? I'm going to go with Ryan on this one. Have you ever had too much of something? Before, other than ice cream, that could have caused another bad thing, not necessarily on stage, but just something probably not healthy for you.
Every night of every tour. Right? There's,
well, I know that you've apparently puked blood on purpose.
No. Yeah, maybe. I just remember being inebriated out by our van and trailer, and someone came up to me, and this happened a few times, maybe.
Ryan, drink this.
This will be hilarious. Drink this.
I will throw up if I drink this.
Drink it.
I don't mind throwing up.
Drink it.
Turn on the camera. That's
how you're basically saying, look, I know what this is going to do to me, and I'll prove it to you.
It happened in some other Albany place or something in Georgia, and someone came up to me with a pitcher of Jaeger. drink this, I'll throw up.
But drink
I will
it.
Turn the camera on, and that actually made
that, that story is on the DVD, which you can purchase at DearEnemy.com. These packages would believe the rumors. That's quite the value. Carry on.
You can absolutely watch me vomit on DVD, and that's only one of many times on DVD. Someone brought up to me Everclear and was like, drink this. I'll throw up blood if I drink that. Drink it. I'm like, I throw up blood. I don't care. I don't care if I throw up blood, but I'll throw up blood. Okay, of course. I drank it, and absolutely, I threw up blood. It came all out of my nose. I splattered it on the wall and fucking everything.
Yeah, it's on the side of Ground Zero and it's by the loading door.
I hope it's still there. I hope that we don't have to play there again, ever again. But if we do... Mick,
love you, Mick.
There was a story that y'all were kicking around before the show, and you were hesitant on talking about it first, but I kind of forcing the issue. And,
it's coercion.
I've named the show or the story "Hop on the Roadie Train." And where were you when this story took place? And do not put any names or band members or people involved that could sue. So try to keep it.
We will not do that, but we will also say that there were no band members from Dear Enemy or other bands involved.
It was UB40.
I'll believe that.
It involved wine.
Was it red wine?
It's going to take a couple.
I drink a lot of red wine. It was when we were touring with Metallica. And the band that we were out with, their bus driver would give us their rooms at night. Their bus driver would sleep all day, and they drive the other band at night. We somehow skeezed our way into getting free hotels there.
So you always got free hotels from that particular band.
Yeah. And this particular night, we're waiting for our hotel. We're out by the, you know, by the buses and stuff, hanging out and just talking shit and everything. And there was one girl that was friends with the owners and the people that worked at the club and everything. And she was a fun, promiscuous lady, like
slut.
No, she wasn't a lady.
Trailer park skank.
Lady like slut.
A lady like.
She was not ladylike.
Well, cum guzzling gutter slut. I want to hone in on what kind of slut she is before we keep going, because I want to make sure I'm understanding.
Yeah,
this
her
story.
Particular genre of slut,
rock slut.
Like she's so blown out. She's so blown out that when she crosses her legs, it still doesn't touch in the middle.
I didn't go there, so I don't know. But apparently so. But no, they were up in the hotel. We're like, okay, so. All of our band, we're sitting out in the parking lot, just
because the deal is that we get the room, but all the roadies get to swing in and take a shower and
right,
and everything first,
the facilities,
and then when everybody heads out, then we get to go in the room, and if we want to crash out that night, we can, or we just want to take showers, whatever. And so you kind of go in the room and you gauge out whether or not you want to do anything at all, or you're going to go sleep in the van.
Right.
Because when a handful of roadies go into the bathroom,
you just
might not want to use it.
It's kind of funky. Yeah.
Not to mention there's a van driver or a bus driver that's been using it all day that doesn't care about the no smoking sign on the door.
Right.
And like, just, you know.
So there's a cum guzzling gutter slut that's hanging around.
We don't know that at this point at all whatsoever.
There's a fine lady.
Yeah. Just a nice lady.
There's a woman of the night that's just kind of hanging around. She apparently is daughter or friends or knows somebody from the club.
Yeah, something like that. And then we know that said girl... whore is in the room.
Well, they just start coming out one by one with smiles.
The roadies do?
They go in the shower. They come out with smiles.
That's all we know.
That's all we know.
So,
we really don't know anything.
She sounds like a sweetheart.
She's a total sweetheart.
She's a people person.
She takes care of...
Welcome to somewhere in Virginia, you guys.
Can I get you anything?
So we're hanging out there, you know, just waiting. We're out there for...
Waiting your turn or just
it
waiting
was
for
way
the
way longer than that.
2 hours.
It felt like we were out there forever.
It really did. We just want to go up. It's been a long fucking day. We just want to go to bed. We don't even want to shower in this nasty fucking. And not even we even said we're not sleeping in that fucking bed. No way. We'll all sleep on the floor around the bed. No way. We're fucking touching that bed. But we just want a place inside that's not our van to sleep. We're all hanging out, and then security walks over, right? and has a word with tour manager that's out there. And I don't remember, I don't know what security said, but they're out there. And then you see all these faces just turn from ha to super serious.
And all these faces are faces from
everybody.
Everybody.
People from the band.
Except
and the
for
roadies.
Us, because ours go from ha 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 to confused.
What's going on?
And then all of a sudden they're just like, let's go. That's all you hear everybody say, let's go. Hey, we got to get out of here. Let's go. And then everybody just like bolts.
Sweet. So the shower's available.
Right? And then like literally, like this is exactly what it felt like. We're all just like, what? Okay.
Do we get
What's
answers?
What's happening now? And so then we start to feel like we're not. What? We're not. Something bad happened in there, and we're not getting blamed for it. So let's go.
It's just like you see, we're all standing there with like our. We got all our bags, our sleeping bags, our overnight bags and shit.
You're ready for the trip into the room.
Yeah, they're all sitting out. We're ready to walk up. We're just fucking waiting. And then all of a sudden, the roadies come out from the hotel running and shit. Everybody jumps on the bus and you see a full tour bus and trailer just fucking take off.
Like with the lean.
Take off. And we're like, what the fuck is going on? And that's like.
Did we get what was going the fuck on?
Apparently there's this girl up there with roadies.
She was trifling. All it was is that she was trifling.
Security came over and was like, well, these people called and said that this girl's getting, taken advantage of.
No, she's getting filled out like an application.
Well, as it turns out, I mean, that may have happened. I really don't know, but it wasn't her that made that call. It was her friends that made the call that said that she was being taken advantage of when she actually...
Our slutty friend is being a slut. We've got to stop it.
Exactly.
Exactly. We want the law involved to stop
her. Out here.
And you can imagine, like, when everybody peels out of the parking lot and we're just kind of standing there, clearly we're not going to want to go up there because nobody's seen the girl.
And she may
or she's probably
she could
still
be glued
there,
to the right? wall right now.
She's still up there, and we're like,
security's all, security's like, cops are on the
she's,
way, and
she's up there. When's their enemy get here?
if cops are on the way, then obviously if
she can't get out of the room because she's so splayed out, her she's all bow legged and shit.
If the cops show up, then the other band's gone. Who's gonna get blamed? Our band, because we're like, hey, we're just here.
They're like, hey, some band was in there, that trifling woman. And I'm sure
they had black T-shirts and tattoos.
Oh yeah,
and you're the only band. The only guy standing there going, I got a sleeping bag.
And
who fucked on a sleeping bag?
I'm freezing, you guys.
And I was especially mad because. I'm the only pot smoker in the band.
They're just going to kill my buzz, man.
Well, no, I wasn't even high.
Get rid of it, Ryan. Get rid of it. Because if we get pulled over, we're screwed. We're driving, like, the hotel is, like, in a... When we pull off, and we're going over this bridge, and you can see the hotel, and you can see the parking lot, you hear Ryan going, dude, if we just go back, I know where it is. See that pole right there?
It's right
on that pole, right there. I know where it is.
You don't even have to.
You're like, dude, shut up. We're not going back to get your skank-ass weed.
your high school ditch weed can stay there.
Oh, it was so high school, but it was, nobody else in the band got high, and that's my only way to get
forget the fact that he met people at every single show where he could get it from.
Yeah, but it wasn't my own.
That wasn't your own.
I brought that wasn't yours either.
I brought that from Spartanburg.
I bought it from a guy out of a trunk.
Sentimental.
It's white.
So we went that night, obviously, from a luxury. It was a nice hotel too. Luxury, not luxury, but for us, anything was luxury. But it was that too. Let's sleep in the van.
Yeah,
and the whole night
Speaking
I'm like
of nice hotels.
That
remember that time we slept near a Ritz-Carlton?
Near
Ritz-Carlton.
We went. We were on another tour.
You get the glow of swank on you.
We were on another tour. That's another tour
in Cleveland, Ohio, went and partied. We were out with Seven Dust, so we went and partied with Morgan and a couple of other guys from that tour at the bar at the Ritz-Carlton. And then he's like, dude, I got more alcohol up in the room. Let's go hang out in the room real quick. And we went and hung out there, and we fucking just, like, joked around or whatever. And then he was like, oh, I'm beat.
Well, no. Real quick, I know where you're going with that, but real quick, the reason we didn't hang out any longer was because Ben, or you know, our old bass player, we're all sitting around on the beds. There's two queen size or whatever size beds. Mm-hmm. We're all sitting down on the beds. Morgan is too. Morgan's fucking playing us a demos from the new album they just wrote.
Sweet.
And it was cool. We're listening to their new demos and stuff. Ben sits up and feet on the bed or whatever, just relax, kicks up.
Right.
And then their monitor guy, Bruce. You remember this? Bruce, their monitor guy. Right. He goes, "Get the fuck off my fucking bed. Get your feet the fuck off my bed." And then we're out of nowhere, everybody's like, it's all like this, just ha ha ha, and out of nowhere. And then like, he's like, "Get the fuck off my shit." And then like, and Ben's like, "Ha ha ha." And like, it was a joke, you know, and it's our first night on tour with these guys too. And like,
he wasn't joking.
He was not joking.
It was definitely one of those, "I don't think he's kidding, you better get on the horse."
Modern guys were serious guys on that fucking tour, man.
Yeah, man.
That actually, we went to that room first, and then after that, we ended up going to Morgan's room because Reagan called us over.
Oh, we did?
Yeah, and so we went and hung out in Morgan's room for a while.
Ryan gets to like hear parts of his story. He's like, "I was there. This is awesome."
And so we went and hung out in Morgan's room, and the Morgan's like, "Oh man, I'm beat. I'm going to crash out." And so we went from hanging out in the Ritz-Carlton to sleeping out in our van in front of the Ritz-Carlton. And at some point in time, was it you or Ben? I think it was you or Ben.
It was me. It was totally me because
at some point he was uncomfortable in our van that he opened up the trailer and went and stretched out on the cabinets in the trailer in front of the Ritz-Carlton. And so, like, but he forgot to close the door.
I didn't forget. I couldn't lock myself in. I closed it as well as I could close it.
And so there's people walking past, just watching the guys, like, sleeping on cabinets, and then the rest of us sleeping in a van. Like, we couldn't have found any other place.
It was so fucking awkward because the reason I ended up there was because I everybody else went to sleep. And I'm like, "Man, fuck all you guys. I want to go sleep in the fucking van right now. I want to party." So like, you know, everybody else leaves, and there's one guy that he was considered the good times coordinator on the tour, and he had the whole bus to himself while the rest of the band was out, you know, in the Ritz. So he told me, he's like, "Hey, if you want to come back, you know, later on and get high, come on by." I'm like, "Fucking right. Okay. Fuck my band. They're all asleep. I'm going to go fucking get stoned with this guy.
Is the attitude why the band broke up. You're like, "Come on, guys. We should go back on the road, man.
Come on. Fuck you, Ryan.
Fine. You have fun on the road." You kept saying, "Fuck my band."
I only fuck my band when I wanted to party. So I went up. I hung out with him. And then I went back. And the general rule of thumb was, you know, we rotated, you know, generally we rotated to the person that sleeps in the front seat.
Right.
But if you're the last person there, you're sleeping in the fucking front seat.
You made a choice.
I made a choice that night.
Look, you want to party, you sleep in the front seat.
And it's like, "Yeah, I want to fucking party. I'll sleep in the fucking front seat." But it didn't work. I was uncomfortable. First night of the tour, too. I'm like, okay. So
Bad idea.
I woke up. I don't even remember going to the trip.
He leaves out the part where the first night of the tour actually happened in Birmingham, Alabama. The second night of the tour happened in Cleveland, Ohio. We drove from Birmingham.
He has no recollection of the first night of the tour.
Some of us were a little tired, all right?
First night. Fuck that first night. My first night was in Cleveland. Because that was the real drive. I totally woke up, you know, with my hoodie over myself and fucking dirty and smelly. And I woke up to the trailer door just flapping up, you know, against fuck. I look out of the door and I see what you kind of would see in New York City or something, business people walking by this way and
a family
that way.
Of four
and I'm like
from the Ritz-Carlton,
and I look
respectful
out
respectful people that don't sleep in a trailer.
And I see and every person that I see walk by, they just look in like, WTF, mate. Like,
just look at you. Why are they Australian up in Cleveland?
No, I don't know why he did that. I never heard those accents.
Look, he went to Sydney, Cleveland. He woke up in Australia. I'm like, "Look, never mind. I'm going on tour with Ryan."
Party went too long.
WTF, mate. There's a YouTube video. You guys don't know what I'm talking about. Inside the Ritz is like a big, like, super mall, right? And what it was. And they had like a food court and everything. So I initially woke up. The rest of the band's all passed out, and I'm like, I've got to piss so bad. And so I walk out. And I'm like in my fucking. Boy, I look like a
asshole.
Yes.
Try to find the right word for it. I'm like, I'll find it.
Like
a homeless sign shop worker.
Was there any discrepancy when you walked into the nice Ritz in their mall shopping area? Was there any problem with you being there?
Absolutely, by the looks on everybody's faces, you know. So,
like, hey, this is a homeless guy that was sleeping outside in the trailer. He's waddled his way in here.
Yep, and I did. And,
I can't finish my Egg McMuffin. Put it down. We're leaving.
Hello, everyone. It's me, Mr. Carlton. Has anyone seen Ritz?
Who is that dreadful-looking fellow in the hoodie?
We did get kicked out of an Egg McMuffin parking lot once, too, in Long Island, but that's a different...
What did you do to get kicked out of a parking lot?
We slept.
I got like 18 refills of
that's right.
I was using the Wi-Fi for hours.
He got one too many refills and used up the Wi-Fi while we were there.
It's all good.
They ran out of Wi-Fi while we were there.
We just got a case.
We drank all the Wi-Fi that
Well, I'm looking forward to the show on New Year's Eve. This is going to be a kick-ass thing. I'm so glad to know y'all getting back together and doing this shit. And y'all have original music coming out too, correct?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I mean, this whole thing kind of snowballed to where, you know, me and Alex had been in another band. And that band, like, so through some unfortunate circumstances, we weren't able to continue on. And so, like, that's kind of when the conversation really picked up again, that Ryan started talking to people saying, let's do a Dear Enemy show. And so we all met together and it turned, you know, everybody was into it. We talked to... We talked to Ben, our original bass player, about it, and he's just in a different spot in his life. We all still keep in touch with him. Everything's still cool, but he just, you know, he's in a different spot. Right. And so our bass player from Via Seva came on board to do this, and we got Ben's blessing, and he was like, absolutely, do whatever you guys want to do. And it went from a show to let's do a promo video to let's do a photo shoot to let's record some new music to, and a lot of people have been asking, like, so are you guys back together? What does this mean? What's going on? The truth of the matter is we don't know.
Yeah. You're right.
We're just, you know,
letting it roll.
We're just dating
guys.
Right now.
Yeah. I mean,
it's nothing serious. No commitments. Just dating.
We're five guys.
just having a good time. It is what it is.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, we're five guys who love what we do and we love each other and we want to do it again. And whatever happens after that's what's going to happen. But right now we're focused on this music and that one show. And then we'll take it from there. That's all
Sweet.
This is about. You know,
I'm uber jazzed. Can't wait to hear the new shit. Guys, thank you so much for coming by and recording the podcast with us. Make sure you all show up at the 120 Tavern in Marietta on New Year's Eve
Dear
Enemy and some awesome music and probably a really drunk Patrick.
Grab your tickets at www.dearenemy.com. Check us out on twitter.com/dearenemy and facebook.com/dearenemy.
Basically, if you Google Dear Enemy, you can probably find all that shit.
It's the first three
posts. How about we put a link on our website?
Ooh, we'll even put
just
a link
in case
on our
no one knows where to find it.
We'll send you the flyer.
Boom.
Do it.
We'll add the flyer. It'll be perfect. Go to devilsbusiness.net. Make sure you wrap it up and sleep it off. Bye.
Been a zombie werewolf production.
Brains.